Happy Sabbath, everyone. Well, it's been 3 weeks since I've stood in this pulpit. We handed it over to Dr. Thomas for those weeks, and we are thankful indeed for his ministry. What do you say? So glad. And the house was so full, wasn't it? The house of God was so full. We had people coming from near and people coming from far. So we have been blessed, and blessed indeed. And I have been contemplating and thinking, what would be a suitable follow-up? What would be a suitable follow-up to the series that we have been exposed to? You know, I just don't think that it would be proper to simply cut off and move on. There's some way in which we want to tie this up as we, and I'm not saying we are saying farewell to the subject, by no means, because the subject of health is vitally important, isn't it not? It certainly is. But what I would like to do is to look at a suitable way in which we can approach the subject. And that is why I have chosen to entitle it, What's the Big Deal? What's the Big Deal? And we'll come to that in a little while. But before we do, I just want to add my welcome, of course, to all of those who are attending here today. I certainly noticed the hands that went up, but we are delighted that we have three sister-ins that are joining us here today. You're coming from Milton Keynes. We're delighted to have you, Ambe. We know that you are the Area 7 Youth sponsor. We are glad to have you here among us. Welcome. Welcome to you all. Welcome to you. And those others of you who are visiting here with us, we extend a very warm welcome to you today. Thank you, Charity. Thank you again for lending your ability, your skills, your talents to the Lord, and singing one of those songs that's foundational in Christian history. Amazing Grace, though adapted somewhat, because it is, you know, this is what those who compose and write songs do. They take an old song and they revamp it. And this is what we get, is a conflation of two songs. But thank you, Charity, for presenting so wonderfully that song. Well, let's bow our heads. Let's move straight in to our message today. Gracious Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege that we have to worship together. We've come together in this, your house. And Father, we come to worship you, not anything else. Not to see the lay of the land, not to meet other individuals, though this is all part and parcel of our fellowship and our worship. But we are here principally, Father, because of you. And so, Lord, we pray that as we continue in our worship here, we ask that, Father, you will grace us at this very moment with your divine presence. Cause us to know that you are right here, right now. Minister to us, O Father, through this human instrument, to your honor and to your glory alone. And we ask once again, shut us in with you, O Father. Enclose us in with you. That our focus will be on hearing your words through your chosen instrument. Thank you, Father. Again, we pray that you will shut out any unwanted influence from here. That, Father, we may only hear your voice. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Now, if you say that something is a big deal, what are you saying? What are you saying? You are actually trying to communicate that it is important, that it is significant, that it is of great consequence. In fact, it's a game changer. When you say it's a big deal, this is what you are seeking to convey. And a big deal is a big deal. So if you didn't get the three A's in your A levels in order to get into your desired university, that's a big deal. Or you messed up in your interview for an important job, that's a big deal. Or you failed your driving test, that's a big deal. Or messed up on a great meal that you wanted to prepare for someone special. Or to be late for anything is a great deal. Now, when we take those two words, big deal, and we formulate those two words into a question, just like the sermon title is today, what's the big deal? It changes the mood. It alters the flavor. Now, this could mean two things. Two things. When we say, what's the big deal, there are two things that we could mean. The question is asked facetiously. That is, to treat a serious issue with deliberate, inappropriate humor, or to simply treat it lightly. So asking the question, what's the big deal, can be of the flavor of asking facetiously, taking a serious issue and relating to it in an inappropriate, humorous way, or simply treating it lightly. That's number one. Then there is the second meaning in the question, and that is asked rebelliously. So there are two, facetiously or rebelliously. Why? Because we don't want to entertain what we believe to be unimportant or of no consequence. Two ways of relating to that question, facetiously or rebelliously. Now, have you ever found this to be true? That whenever a subject of importance to you is being discussed, it could either be minimized or treated as unimportant, or what starts out as a friendly discussion degenerates into a heated argument and division. Have you ever encountered that? Have you experienced that before? And this is oftentimes a stance that is taken when the subject of health is being discussed. Isn't that true? Just like when the subject of music is discussed. Now today, I want us to consider health from the perspective of the great controversy. The last 15 days, we've been dealing with health from the medical, scientific, and spiritual aspect. Today, I want to deal with health from the perspective of the great controversy. And why health is a big deal to God. And why also Satan, our adversary, knows this to be a big deal also. Now, I want us to turn, first of all, in John 10, verse 10. Maybe those of you who are familiar with this passage will know it. You can recite it by heart. It says, and I know our AV team are always quick on the draw for this one, not today. John 10, verse 10 says, the thief does what? Does not come except to do what? To steal and to what? Kill and to destroy. So that thief we know to be no other than who? Satan himself. So the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now Jesus says, I have come to do what? That they may have what? Life, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. So Satan's plan is to kill and to hurt, to take away from us health and life. God's plan is to counter that and promote abundant life and health. So we see the two individuals at play here. One is God, serious about health. The other one is Satan, on the other side, also serious about health. One desires your well-being. The other one desires your destruction. This desire that God wants us to prosper is also found in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Another passage familiar to us. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may do what? Prosper in how many things? in all things and be what? In health. Now, I want you to consider that when the children of Israel came out of bondage, God gave them principles to live by that will promote the overall well-being of the nation. And he said to them in Exodus 23 and verse 25, "So shall you serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Jesus is the one who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus is the one who says, "A cheerful heart is good like medicine, but a crushed spirit does what? Dry up the bones." Jesus, the lover of our soul, is the one who counsels, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Why? Because this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So, my brothers and sisters, God has given to us this body to care for and to keep for him in the best possible condition for a very good reason. And that reason is that there is an active battle going on behind the veil of human sight. And that battle that is going on is a battle for your allegiance, for your devotion, for your worship. Your devotion to one will lead to the disease of mind and body and ultimate eternal loss. And your devotion to the other will lead to mental health and wellness and eternal gain. To me, my brothers and sisters, that's a big deal. Now, I just want to take us to the background to our scripture text for a moment. I want us to understand the reason why Paul addresses the Corinthians the way that he does. Of course, we've extracted out two verses out of the context of verses. But I just want to address the backstory to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Paul, as we know very well, was a very hard-working missionary. And he sought hard to establish a group of believers there amongst the Corinthian people. Now, amidst the moral sins and idolatry was the undergirding philosophy that it doesn't matter what you do to your body because it won't affect your mind. Have you heard that before? It was a man by the name of Epictetus, who lived around the time of the Corinthian church, that said the following, that we are like little souls carrying around a corpse. We are being shackled to a body. So it was commonly accepted that the soul or the spirit is important while the body is not. Therefore, it didn't matter what you did to your body. It would not have any effect upon the mind. But what did we learn over the past 15 days? that there is a connection between mind and body, or gut and brain. So this Greek idea, this is where it came from, Epictetus, this Greek philosophy teaches that it doesn't matter what you do to your body, doesn't matter how you feed your body, it will not have an ounce of effect upon your mind. For no other church did Paul work so hard as he sought to sow the seed in order to bring about among the Corinthian people an abundant harvest. But tares were planted by the enemy among the wheat. And ere long, these sprung up and brought forth their evil fruit. So while Paul was among them, their influence had little power. But the years, 3 years to be exact, of absence opened the way for the infiltration of vain philosophy. This gave rise to the same sins practiced by the pagans around them. And this is why Paul penned the words, "What?" You know, as we put it, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have got of God, and ye are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." So to even Paul, it was a big deal. I want to switch gears. And I want to make reference to councils for the church. I want to make reference here, councils for the church, page 101 and paragraph 5. I want you to listen very carefully. Very carefully. As I read the following shocking revelation. It probably would have been good if I had it up so that you're able to follow along with me, but listen as carefully as you can. I'm switching gears. Now I'm talking about Satan. Councils for the Church, page 101, paragraph 5. I quote, "Satan gathered the fallen angels together to devise some way of doing the most possible evil to the human family." Did you hear that? So Satan gathered the fallen angels. This was a committee meeting. This was a board meeting. May even be a business meeting. Gathered the whole host of the demonic forces together. His desire was to devise a way of doing the most possible evil to the human family. I'm stopping quoting for a minute. In that committee meeting, one proposition after another proposition was brought to the floor. Till finally, Satan himself said, "Rubbish. All of what you're suggesting and what you're putting forward and what you're proposing is rubbish." He said, "I will take this on myself. I have an idea. I have a plan." And this was his plan. I quote, "He would take the fruit of the vine." What did we eat? What would he take? The fruit of the vine. Also wheat. What did I say? Wheat. and other things given by God. Given by who? God. As food. And would convert them into poisons. I hope we're hearing this. What was his objective here? It would ruin man's physical, mental, and moral powers. Do you then think that every food is good for food? Come on, brethren. Not while we have such things taking place behind the veil of human notice. So he would convert them into poisons which would ruin man's physical, mental, and moral powers, and so overcome the senses that Satan should have full control. I'm talking here about, and I'm not getting into what is good for food. That's not my business here today. I'm talking about the great controversy. We had 15 days of looking at what is decent and what is good for food. What I want to address here is the great controversy issue. Because the whole idea of health is far more of a big deal than we would care to think. I read on. Satan is constantly on the alert to bring the race fully under his control. His strongest hold on man. Tell me, what is his strongest hold on man? His strongest hold on man is appetite. Now, when you say something is the strongest, what is higher than that? If something is considered strongest, is there anything higher than that? No. So when we look at the issue of appetite or health, as far as they are concerned, that is uppermost. And if it's a big deal for him, don't you think it should be a big deal for us? In this great controversy, the battle is for the mind. You see, the mind is the citadel for the body. And we are told that the brain nerves, which communicates with our entire body system, are the only, and I say it again, the only medium through which heaven can communicate. It's the only medium through which heaven can communicate to us and impact our inner self. That is the mind. And it is through the brain nerves, my brothers and sisters. It is through the brain nerves. Now, anything that interferes with the electrical processes and functions of the brain nerves will result in our minds being affected. So, intemperance of any kind, for the definition of temperance is what? It's the abstinence from that which is bad. And the moderate use of that which is good. So, intemperance of any kind will benumb the perceptive organs and so weaken the brain nerve power that eternal things are not appreciated. Did you get that? That is why Satan knows if he, in his laboratory, can take that which God has gifted to the human race as food, that he can take and through his chemistry create poisons in order that the mind might be befogged and that the mind cannot appreciate truth. We should see this as a big deal. That's why my question to you is, if this is a big deal for God, is this a big deal for you? Over the last 15 days, we were privileged to have Dr. Thomas with us. And I believe that he came at an appropriate time and shared with us important principles for taking charge of our health now. Now. Not tomorrow. Not next week or next month or as a New Year's resolution, but now. And the challenge to begin taking charge of your health, to start on the road toward abundant health, is something that has been laid before us. Now, there is no huge expectation for anyone in this sanctuary to believe that they can make huge changes in a short period of time. But to determine through their choice and by God's power to take small steps toward change. Amen? What we want is a clear mind. That's why it's such a big deal to God to ensure that we have what we have by way of warning, that we can enjoy abundant health. Because God wants to speak his truth, not to a mind that is befogged, but a clear mind. So we want to take small steps toward change. There are those who are present today who have taken such steps. And I want to give you the opportunity right now just to share your testimony briefly about what God has done for you and how the 15 days has impacted your experience. Is there anyone? Anyone here who would like to? Right at the back here. If we can get a mic to Elliot, please. Just to share briefly how the past 15 days has impacted you.
Yes, good morning, church. So when I attended the seminars, he was saying, particularly about pains in the joints, mm-hmm. that if we remove certain food, and then also about the fasting, that when you fast, what it does is that the body kills the bad cells that mm-hmm. cause the joint pain. So with that knowledge, I started to fast on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Using the recipe that he gave for detox. and I ended my fast today. And I have to praise God that pain is gone after 3 days.
What do we say?
No more pains in my knees, in my arms. So yeah, it has been really great knowledge to have. So I will continue to remove, you know, the flour, the gluten, and also use fast from time to time to keep the things.
Amen.
And of course, I've lost two and a half kilos, so that's even less.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? You've been impacted. You want to share how you've been impacted?
It's similar to what Sister Elliot said, but the sugar and the rubbish food, because I really cut them out, and I can see I'm even getting slimmer, but it's better for me. But I'm sleeping so much better.
Praise the Lord.
But I can see a bit clearer without my glasses.
Look at that. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Yes, we have a couple of hands across here.
Hi. I must say that having Dr. Thomas has really changed my life and my family's life in terms of health. When he left last time, I went in my cupboard and I think I told my father, I don't know what we're going to be eating, because I felt like we were eating the wrong things. And I looked at my cupboard and I thought, oh my goodness, I just want the grace of God to help me to put the right thing for my family to replace the things that we have. And first of all, I said to us, let's start with sugar. And Terence can, I don't know if you can testify about sugar.
Terence is
and
silent.
That was the first thing we've eliminated in our diet.
Yes.
And I must say, it started with Amos. Amos loves ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
And from now on, Amos has not eaten ketchup since Dr. Orlando has given us that. And I'm glad we are able to replace that. Mm-hmm. And I'll leave Terence to say something about sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started, I'd weighed myself just before we started that day. And I measured myself 3 days later, and I found out that I'd lost 1.5 kg mm-hmm. already. Mm-hmm. So that was testimony, and I'm yet to weigh myself again mm-hmm. after the 14 days.
And we didn't have Alex throughout the period.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Alex came, I said, you are coming to a changed family. And I told Dennis, Terence, Amos, by the time Daddy comes back, he's coming to find a totally changed diet, changed everything. And I don't know what Alex has to say, because I put him on the 14-day Bad Belly Challenge. And the first 3 days, I'm talking for him, he's out there. It was very, very hard. But today, being a day 5, he's allowed 2 meals, at least having the intermittent fasting, having the 2 meals separate. He would tell us how he's feeling today. Today he's much better than he was the first 3 days. So God is working for us in our house.
Amen.
In terms of health.
Amen.
And we need, because I've realized the relation we have with food is totally wrong.
Mm.
The food is an idol, guys.
Mm.
Food is an idol, because the appetite we have, it just takes over our whole mind.
Mm.
After we change our diet, I must say I'm sleeping better.
Praise the Lord.
I have clear mind. I'm not getting upset easily with the kids when they done something. So I'm more patient.
Amen.
So I must say it's been a blessing having Dr. Orlando.
Praise God indeed. Thank you. Anyone else? I thought I saw 2 hands, 3 hands here. You know, that's what I'm just saying. At the end of the day, 15 days has proven to be life-changing. Now, of course, what we're saying is we're not asking you to make huge steps, but take small steps toward change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. I used to have my 1 meal a day due to the nature of my work. You know, you can't eat. But guess what? I used to have that meal when I come home. And I left work 9 o'clock sometimes after 9. So when I start having my meal at 6 o'clock at work, or even earlier, sometimes 5, at the end of the shift, I've got notes to, you know, notes from telephone conversation to document. And sometimes I used to be so lethargic, don't know what to write. But when I started to have this 1 meal in the afternoon, early afternoon, oh, my mind was just clear, and it's like it was firing.
Look at that.
All my notes, I couldn't believe it.
Mm.
So I continued that process.
Praise God indeed. Praise God.
Yes, we really need to praise God for the experience we had with Dr. Thomas. I'm pre-diabetic one, and I love food too. Mm. So it was really something to really change my diet.
Mm.
And the thought of sugar being a drug really helped me to say, no, thank you.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I've not had sugar for about maybe 2 months or more now. Mm. So I'd started when we did the 21-day fast, remember, Joan?
Mm-hmm.
But I really have to thank God that over that period, I've lost 20 pounds. And I don't find it hard to continue with the change in lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to add my thanks to the experience we've had
Praise
with
God.
Dr. Thomas.
Amen. Amen. We have one more.
One more?
There was Nadine just here.
There's two more, I think.
You're stretched.
I'd like to add to everyone's experience. Mine was probably quite similar, but the experience I want to share is my cousin's experience, Natisha,
mm-hmm.
who before the journey started had a stroke on her left side. And she was at the hospital for a while, and she literally couldn't move the left leg. She was numb even when she went home, and she was put on a 28-day rest, not do anything. So the time was very timely when Dr. Thomas came along, and I called and I said, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I don't know if I can do it. I said, we'll do it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us went on that journey together.
Mm-hmm.
And she started, I gave her the detox. She was like, oh, that's still really disgusting. I don't know if I can do that for 3 days. But she saw it through. And last week, she went back to her stroke specialist. And the progress that she has made in every single thing that they asked her to do, they were like, what did you do?
Mm.
She explained to them that she removed the sugar, she removed the flour, and now she's on the OMAD diet, really.
Yes.
One meal a day, which is the same, and just some smoothie and everything.
Mm.
And she went, the only test she didn't pass was she wasn't able to stand on the left leg.
Yes.
Since then, she's now standing, she's gone back to work,
oh,
she is driving,
wow.
And she called me in the week, and she said, I am not going back to that lifestyle.
Look at that.
God has given me a wake-up call, but he also has provided a way forward in such a timely fashion,
mm-hmm.
and she will never go back there. And at the moment, she's like, I don't even miss that kind of food.
Look at that.
I am enjoying eating the food that I'm
eating. What do we say? Amen and amen indeed. We're quickly coming to a close. We have to take, just one more hand, and then we're gonna close up.
I didn't start my diet last when it started, but I started this few days. So this is kind of my 5 days as well.
Mm-hmm.
But since Dr. Thomas came, I reduced my sugar and don't eat bread. So I felt the difference in my body because I had so much pain before on my back.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain's really lessened and a lot less. And then I feel much better myself.
Praise God indeed. What do we say, church? So all that I'm saying is, you see, I can't account for the 15 days. The fact is that we had a specialist coming and presenting to us. All that I can say is that what has been presented works. And even more so, God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. What God wants to do is heal body and mind to prepare us for his eternal kingdom. And I pray that we today will commit. And if you haven't had an opportunity to hear Dr. Thomas, it is available on the podcasts. So you go to our website, you can pick up the lectures that were given on our website. if you don't know where to find it, then you can either see Carl. He'll be able to let you know exactly where to find it. You can get the audio recordings. And I challenge you to listen for yourself. And by the grace of God, make small changes towards health. God will bless you. God will transform your life's experience. And I pray that God will bless us. This is not the end. It is only the beginning. May God bless each one of you as we progress on our journey heavenward. Amen.